On episode 633 of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we discuss limiting beliefs. Do you believe you can lose weight and get fit? You can find the full show notes for this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/633. Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness, the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is here for you. Each week, we dive deep into health and fitness topics that affect those of us over 40. I'm Coach Allen. I'm an NASM certified personal trainer with specializations in corrective exercise, behavior change, performance enhancement, and fitness nutrition. A precision nutrition level 1 coach, a FAI certified functional ageing specialist, and an OTA level 2 online trainer. Each week, I'm joined by our co-host, Coach Rachel. She is an NASM certified personal trainer and a RRCA level 1 run coach. Let us be your coaches as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go. Today, we're talking about limiting beliefs and how they can hold you back. One of the keys to success in weight loss and improving your health and fitness is having a tribe to support you and hold you accountable. If you're struggling, I strongly suggest you listen to this episode. But if you're really serious about making something happen, not just read, listen, and talk about it, then I'd like for you to join us at the 10,000 Club. This is a community of like-minded people all looking to lose weight and improve our health. And it's free to join. Learn more at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/club. Get the support and accountability you need to overcome the obstacles life has thrown in your way. 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/club. Hey, Raz, how are you?
Good, Alan. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. Started training again. My ribs not bothering me. So
good.
Feeling really good. I've been on a few more podcasts. I won't be able to list all of them here, but you can go to 40plusfitness.com/media. And that's going to take you to my media page. But yeah, there's a few of them that have come live just this week. So you should go check those out in between listening to this one. But they were good interviews, so worth going and checking out. But how are things up there?
Great. I think I mentioned last week we were starting our maple syrup season. And so we did a boil and we got about 2.5 gallons of syrup so far. And we've been collecting again. And this weekend we'll probably do our last boil. So it's been a pretty good season.
Good, good. Glad to hear that.
Super fun.
All right. Are you ready to talk about believing in yourself?
Sure.
Do you believe in yourself? Now, off the top, this might seem like a pretty silly question because you probably do actually believe in yourself. We can talk about things like Santa and Easter Bunny and things like that. And obviously, you can either believe or not believe. But a lot of times when we look at our belief systems, what we don't recognize is that we see ourselves in certain ways, and those belief systems can either help or harm us when we're trying to do something like lose weight. So today I want to take a little bit of time to talk about limiting beliefs and get you some tools to help you improve your belief system to help you be more successful. So when we're talking about belief, and do you believe you can succeed? There's really two areas that we want to focus on. The first is a basic self-image. And the question then is, do we see ourselves in a certain light? We may have been told we're big boned. We may have been told it's genetic. We may have been told a lot of things. And that's the self-image that we have. If we've been overweight most of our life, it's very hard for us to see ourselves having lost all the weight. So the first thing you want to look at is self-image. Is your self-image such that you can be successful in losing weight? The second is the story that we tell ourselves. If you've tried several times to lose weight and you've struggled, there's a story. There's a story you tell yourself about your ability to be successful. So if we're going to overcome these limiting beliefs, we have to address both of these, the self-image and the story. So how do we go about changing our self-image? How do we go about changing our story? Well, for a lot of people, the best and only way that they really overcome these challenges is to see a different outcome. This happens a lot when we're younger because we're always experiencing new things. And so we may have not known that we were able to run fast, or we may not have known that we were actually really good at algebra until we took the class. And so we wait for an outcome. We take that first test and it's relatively easy. That outcome tells us that we can in fact do algebra. It tells us that we can in fact run a 5K and we can do it quickly. So waiting for an outcome can be a really good way to fix your self-image or to fix your story. But unfortunately, with weight loss, it's really hard to wait for the outcome and then change your self-image and story. In fact, if we do that, if we get to a point where we have actually lost weight, in many cases, the self-limiting beliefs, the story you tell yourself and the self-image can lead you to regress. It can lead you to gain the weight back. And so a better way to do this rather than waiting for the outcome is to pressure test our beliefs. Now, you may think because you're 60-something years old and you've always struggled to lose weight, you might not think you're capable of losing this weight. At least that's something that's buried in your subconscious, in your self-image, or in your story. But the reality is, if you look around, you are very likely to see a lot of other people in your same situation who have, in fact, lost the weight. Those pressure tests, those experiences of, yes, other people, clearly demonstrate that it is possible for you to lose the weight. We just have to do the things to make that happen. So to change, which is what we're asking our body to do, we have to start with that change of our belief system. And once we've pressure tested some of our story, some of our self-image, thinking we can't do something or something is not possible, we've pressure tested and proved to ourselves it is in fact possible. Now we got to get to work. And this is where we really want to focus on growth. There's the growth mindset and the fixed mindset, which you may have read about at different times. But I can tell you right now that it's more than just having a mindset of growth or fixed. It's really about knowing where your limits are and pushing on those comfort zones. Growth comes from pushing outside of your comfort zone. And I can tell you that if you look back on your life, nothing of note, nothing great in your life happened when you were in your comfort zone. And in fact, the best things that ever happened to you were when you were outside of your comfort zone. So we start this journey looking at our belief systems. We pressure test our beliefs, our self-image and story, based on evidence we have around us. And I can tell you from experience of talking and working with thousands and thousands of people, no matter what your age, no matter what your situation, you can lose the weight. So the change aspect is the physical part, and this is where you have to begin to push yourself outside your comfort zone. If you don't address the belief system first, it's really hard to be consistent and continue to do this. So how do we get there now? The nuts and bolts of all of this, because a lot of what we've talked about so far just seems like it's all in our head, but it's not, okay? So yes, the first step, or what I like to call the cost of change, is for you to invest time and effort in resetting your belief system. To reset your belief system, you are going to have to unlearn things. So things you may have been told that are part of your self-image and they're part of your story, that you have a bad metabolism, or you are over, you know, you've had menopause and it's going to be so much harder for you to do, if not impossible. You're going to have to unlearn some of those things. So the pressure testing will give you some evidence that it can be done. And then what you want to do is unlearn the idea that it can't for you and start putting in there that, of course, it can. If it can work for someone else, it can work for you. So we start with that resetting of the belief system. The second step is to make a commitment. Now, you've probably heard me talk about commitment a lot because I do believe that is the core first major step in making change is when you commit to that change. Now, if you don't believe in yourself, you're not really going to commit. So we do have to fix our belief system and then make the commitment, because if we're trying to set a vision and we don't believe that vision is possible, we're not going to do it. And so resetting your belief system by unlearning things and relearning them, relearning the right way, will set you up to then make your commitment. Your commitment is where you'll step up and say, this is where I want to go. This is my vision. And this is why I need to go there. I want to lose. I need to lose 40 pounds because my health is failing. And if I don't do it now, I know it's going to be more difficult in the future. I've got so much more in my life that I need to be here for. My grandchildren, my wife, the rest of my family, I need to be here for them. And so that's my commitment. Now, the next step in this is obtaining knowledge. Now, I'll go as far as to say that most people, you included, probably already know all you need to know to lose weight. You've tried a lot of different things. You tried a lot of different diets, and some things worked and other things did not. So a lot of the knowledge that you would need to be successful in change, you've already acquired. So for most people, there's not a whole lot more knowledge for you to worry about. If you're struggling with this and do think you need more knowledge, this is a perfect time to think about a coach or a group or people that are going through this so that you can surround yourself with people who do know how to do this, just to, again, pressure test your assumptions and make sure that you do know what you need to know. And then the next stage is the work, okay? And this is where you're going to have to put in time and effort. You cannot keep doing what you were doing and expect a different result. So we're going to have to do some work. And when we do that work, that is going to probably push us just outside our comfort zone. Making time to do batch cooking, going to the grocery store and picking out healthy foods, going to the farmer's market and picking out healthy foods, cleaning out the pantry and getting rid of things that are not going to serve you on this journey, taking the time to go for your daily walks, making sure you're getting your movement in, making sure that you're preparing healthy meals. All those are work. They're going to take time and effort. Now, beyond the time and effort, the other thing that you're going to need is some resources. Resources might be something like a gym membership. They may be, you may even order a food service just to have healthy ingredients shipped to your house. But there's going to be some form of investment. It could also be a coach. It could be a group. But there's usually going to be some level of financial investment into resources to make you more successful. You'll hear a lot of people say that it's more expensive to eat healthy. It can be. But I've also found that it doesn't have to be if you're smart about it. And so investing in the resources, making smart investments as you move forward, will help you move your way through this. Now, as you go through and you are successfully losing the weight, you still have to listen to the story that you're telling yourself. You still have to be aware of your self-image, because even though we've made efforts to change that, oftentimes we will fall back on old beliefs. And if those are the limiting beliefs that kept us where we were, they very well could sabotage us going forward. So having that consistent conversation with yourself, checking in with yourself to know that, okay, I can do this. I am doing this. I am doing this. And making sure that that's a part of the new story. You were something before, but you're going to be something else now. And that's a big, big step, but it's a very necessary step. So if you find yourself really struggling, and this is particularly true if you see a lot of yo-yo dieting, you'll lose the weight and gain it back. You probably have some limiting beliefs in your self-image or your story or both that are keeping you where you are or sending you back to where you came. We want to address those early in this process, and then we want to make the investments that we need to be successful. Welcome back, Rez.
Hey, Alan. This is my favorite topic, you know, mindset. I mean, attitude is everything when it comes to setting goals and achieving them. But, you know, if you're going to self-sabotage yourself with some strange limiting belief, then you're not going to get anywhere. I mean, this is important things for people to actually consider, like really sit down and think about in, as they get started.
Yeah, I see it in other aspects all the time, because I do a coach. I coach, you know, health and fitness. Obviously, I also coach other coaches, and I just see it. Do you believe in yourself? Mm-hmm. And when there's this lack of belief, it scattershots everything. Everything just falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I saw a stat when the doctor tells you that you have a terminal disease, like you've got less than, you know, just less than a month to live or something like that. Those folks die in a month.
It's crazy.
They're done. Versus if they're told in a different way, you have a very serious disease. We're going to help make you comfortable and treat you, but this is an end of life event. Those folks can live a little bit longer. And it's really just what's planted, the seed that they planted in their head that tells them, you know, this, the doctor doesn't have a magic clock.
No,
he can't look on his computer and say, oh, this one's got 2 weeks, that one's got three. No, that's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
We plant that seed. We plant that belief. And so if you have a belief system, the thing I would tell you to do at first, just look around. Everything that you think you can't do, someone is doing.
Yeah, exactly. Holy cow.
You know, someone is doing it right now. Someone not unlike you. Someone dealing with a lot of the same things. Is there anyone exactly like you? No, not really. But all the things you think that are holding you back, there's someone else with those same things, those same conditions, the same problems, and they're thriving. And they're meeting their goals and they're doing their things. And so you just have to look around a little bit to see that we like to think we're unique butterflies, but we don't think of it that way. Maybe we think we're unique moths, because it's a very negative thing versus a positive thing. But the reality of it is, everything you want in life, someone else has done.
Right.
And is doing. So it's not just that it can be done. It is that they are doing it. You know, a woman going through menopause is struggling with weight loss. You can lose weight. Women are doing it right now. You know, men who want to get stronger and compete at certain things or do certain things. You know, the first time you and I ran 50-mile races, in our head was, well, can I do this?
Yes.
I don't know. But if you'd sat there race morning and said, I cannot do this, you would have been right.
Right.
But you got out there with people doing it. You know, they were doing it. There are other people showing up and saying, okay, yeah, I'm running 50 miles. You're running 50? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, of course, we're both running 50 miles. We're not going to run much past the finish line,
I've got a ton of running analogies, just tons. I could tell you all the things all the time that I see. Like, everybody who hears that I run marathons and ultra marathons, they say, well, I can't run because it's bad for my knees. Well, who said that? Did a doctor tell you? Did you like,
well,
is
a
there
doctor
a reason?
May have told him. That's the problem. The doctor will tell you, okay, when I run, my knees hurt.
Well,
answer
sure.
from doctor, don't run.
Well, exactly.
Okay.
That happens all the time. But my exact point is that you've got to question that thought.
Right.
You know, there's nothing catastrophically wrong unless you have had surgeries or have done something to injure your knees. There is nothing catastrophically wrong. And of course your knees are going to hurt when you start running. If you start any exercise regimen, you're going to have some level of soreness as your body adapts to whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. But again, right there, that's a huge self-limiting belief. If you want to run, you certainly can. If running's not your thing, there's something else. But like you were saying, you know, I had a long time to wrap my head around that I was allowed to run a 5K. When I accomplished that, I was like, running a 10K sounds ridiculous, but I accomplished that. Same thing for the half, same thing for the full. And when it came time, I was like, okay, now I know I can run an ultra marathon. I know this. But even circling back to the shorter distances, every race that you enter, you are going to see these really awesome age brackets. They're usually five, but sometimes they're 10-year intervals. So anyone between their 40s, their 50s, their 60s, their 70s, there's age brackets. So if you see a 70-year-old age bracket, 80-year-old age bracket in your local race, or even, you know, some of these bigger races like the World Majors, what does that tell you? There's a ton of 70 and 80-year-olds running these races. So like you've got to, I see it everywhere, but yeah, you just kind of open your eyes a little bit to notice these things.
That's the core of it. You have to unlearn some things.
Yes.
And then learn what's actually happening. You know, a lot of people will say, mm-hmm, I can't squat. And I'll be like, you probably already have today.
Right. Sure.
If you sat down on the toilet, you sat down in a chair and you stood back up, that's a squat. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're telling yourself you've got bad knees and you can't squat, mm-hmm, well, you've done it. You've done it, mm-hmm, multiple times today, probably. And so to tell yourself that you can't do something, well, you're right. You know, it's going to hurt when you do it because you're telling your knee to hurt when, mm-hmm, you do it. It's the placebo effect that you're putting on yourself. And so we do have to unlearn these things.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there's the possibility that your movement pattern when you run or your movement pattern when you squat is not optimal for your knee function. And therefore, mm-hmm, you are putting extra stress on tendons and ligaments in that knee. So we just, mm-hmm, want to learn how to squat better.
Well, you mentioned getting the knowledge and hiring a coach or whatever it takes, getting some information and guidance so that you are doing that properly. And that is huge.
Yeah, that is where the resources come in. And resources, mm-hmm, also can come in play when you're trying to unlearn and relearn.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, someone will tell me, I can't lose weight. I'm, you know, a 61-year-old woman. Mm-hmm. I can't lose weight. I'm like, well, do you want to? I mean, do you really want, mm-hmm, to? Like, mm-hmm, is your why compelling enough? Because, mm-hmm, I'll say a lot of the times when there's that struggle, there really isn't the commitment. But, mm-hmm, if the commitment's there,
mm-hmm,
then really a lot of the times the only thing that might be holding you back is your belief system.
For sure. And it's that word commitment again, Alan. It's one of my favorite words too, that if a goal, for example, to lose weight is so important to you, especially during this crazy phase of perimenopause or menopause, like if that's your goal, commit to getting a trainer and a coach and figuring it out. Like, look at it as a problem to be solved. That's, I think that helps make it a little bit more feasible, especially when you have a coach who can guide you through these things. You have to believe that it's possible. You just have to trust the process and be committed to what the coach suggests that you do.
Yeah. Well, and that coach, if they're worth a crap, will give you the evidence,
mm-hmm,
to prove that it's happening. Mm-hmm. That it's happening, and not that's not just that it has happened or can happen, but it is happening.
Mm-hmm.
There are people all around you doing the things you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to open your eyes and look in the right, mm-hmm, direction. You know, there's like you said, 70, 80-year-olds that are running ultra marathons. And when I ran mine back in 95, there was two people in their late 60s. I sat there at the pre-race meeting the day before talking to the guy,
mm-hmm,
you know, and he's 68 years old and, mm-hmm, I'm 29 years old. And I'm like, look at all these old people running these races. This is crazy.
Yeah.
They say, well, most of us didn't start running till we were in our 40s.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh, okay. And he came in right behind me, not right behind me, probably, I guess, 30 minutes behind me, but, mm-hmm, I stayed to cheer him on finishing because mm-hmm, it was getting close to cutoff. And I was like, I hope, mm-hmm, this guy makes it because this is just so inspiring for me to know, no matter how old I am, the body, mm-hmm, is capable of amazing things. I just have to believe,
sure,
I can do it and then, mm-hmm, do the work by committing and then getting the resources and doing the work.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really great. And I think, you know, people want to share some of their self-limiting beliefs. I really think that it's worth talking to a coach about, because I think a coach could help you dispel some of the myths that are out there. And the other good thing about having a coach, Alan, is that you and I look at the individual So we know what they're going through. We know their lifestyle. We know their abilities. You do assessments on their physical, you know, capabilities. So the programs are tailored for that person. They're not cookie cutter. And so that helps with the success level, as long as they're committed.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. You can go on the internet and find a workout. You can go on the internet mm-hmm. and find a diet. And mm-hmm. then you can try it. But mm-hmm. the question you're going to have to ask yourself is, do I believe that this is going to work for me? Mm-hmm. And maybe you do. And then it does. And that's great. Mm-hmm. Yep. But many times there's going to be little caveats to this stuff that's going to make it harder. There's going to be mm-hmm. a challenge period. It's the hero's journey in real life. There's mm-hmm. a reason why that's there. The way stories are told, and real good stories are told, is mm-hmm. that there's always going to be a challenge, and the challenge mm-hmm. is going to test you, and the test is going to make you better mm-hmm. as long as you push yourself through that low. And mm-hmm. that's where, again, yes, having a coach, having the right people around you, and believing in yourself mm-hmm. is really, really important, because if you don't believe in yourself, you won't make it to the other side.
Absolutely. 100%. Mindset is everything. Yep.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you next week then.
Great. Take care, Alan.
You too. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Next time on the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we bring back Brian Grinn and discuss his book, The Stepladder Plan, 6 Steps to Lifelong Health and Vitality. Until then, have a happy and healthy week.